Hey, welcome to this week's podcast, recorded live at Planet Shakers Church, Melbourne, Australia. For more details, check out planetshakers.com.
Well, this year is the year of breakthrough and breakthrough and glory. That's what it is, breakthrough and glory. The Bible tells us in Romans 3:23 that all of us have fallen short of God's glory. And that's bad news if you stop reading there. But if you keep reading, thank God for Jesus Christ that we all have access to the glory and to the power of God. On our own, we can't work our way to glory. We can't perform our way to glory. We can't behave our way to glory. But with Jesus Christ, we can step into and encounter the glory of God. It says this in 2 Corinthians chapter 3. It says, now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is... You can take a seat. Sorry, I didn't say that. Bless you. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom, there is liberty. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord. Somebody say, glory. Glory. We are being transformed into the same image. We are beholding the glory of the Lord. And by the power of the Spirit, we are being transformed into that image from glory to glory. You know what that says? It says to me that the glory of the Lord is not just for me to encounter, but the glory of the Lord is for me to carry and for me to reflect. And when Paul says to the Corinthians, from glory to glory, that means that what God has for me today is more than I could carry yesterday. That God wants to take me further tomorrow than where I am today. That God has ever increasing glory for me to carry, for me to reflect, and for me to encounter. That means that as I go on in my relationship with God, that I should be looking more like my Father as the journey continues. I should be sounding more like my Father as the journey continues. I should be living more, loving more, moving more, acting more, relating more like my Father as I go on, as He transforms me. Somebody say, glory. Glory. God wants to transform our life. That's good news. And Jesus says that this is what I want to spend our time in this verse today, John 11, verse 40. It says these words, Jesus said, did I not say to you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God? I want to speak to you for the next few minutes about this thought, just believe. Just believe. Jesus' promise here is if we would just believe, we would see the glory of God. Now, I don't know about you, but in the year of breakthrough and glory, I want to see God's glory. In the year of breakthrough and glory, I want to experience His glory. If that's the declaration over us this year, then I want to step into the glory of God. Jesus gives us a key here. If we would just believe. Somebody say, just believe. Come on, shout at me like you know where we're going. Say, just believe. If you would just believe, you would see the glory of God. See, they teach you when you go to Bible school that God has attributes and character, that some of His attributes that they teach you about is that God is omnipotent, that God is omnipresent, and that God is omniscient. What that means, omnipotent, that God is all-powerful, not some powerful. God is all-powerful. Omnipresent means that God is all places at all times. Not sometimes with you and other times not. Not with you when you're doing good and not with you when you're doing bad. No, God is always with you. What else? Omniscient, all-knowing. God knows all things. He knows your end from your beginning. He knows when you stand up. He knows when you sit down. He knows the words that are on your lips before they even come out of your mouth. God is all-powerful, all places, and all-knowing. Now, they teach us that because that is the truth. These three attributes of God are there to reveal His supremacy, His majesty, His glory. There is no other being, no other false god, no devil, no angel, no human that carries all three of these attributes. God is all-powerful, all-knowing, and all places at all times. And the truth is, somebody say, just believe. Our faith is tested in all of these areas. By things that we go through in life, our faith gets tested in these areas. Sometimes we go through things that test our faith in one of these areas. Other times we go through things that test our faith in all three of these areas. Omnipotent, do we really believe God is powerful enough to move in my situation? Omniscient, do we really believe that God knows about me? That God knows about me individually? That God cares about the very detail of my life? omnipresent. Do we really believe that God knows our end from our beginning? That He is always with me? I want to go to a story that can illustrate this for today. It's in the Gospel of Luke chapter 8, verse 40. Somebody say, just believe. You too. Luke 8, verse 40. It says this, on the other side of the lake, the crowds welcomed Jesus because they'd been waiting for Him. Then a man named Jairus, a leader of the local synagogue, came and fell at Jesus' feet, pleading with Him to come home with him because his only daughter, who was about 12 years old, was dying. Jairus was in the middle of a situation. Jairus had a need from God. And he did what I would tell you to do if you had a need. He did what we would preach to you to do if you had a need. He did what we would say the Bible would encourage us to do if you had a need. He went to God. He knew that there was something about Jesus. There was something in Jesus. He carried the breakthrough that Jairus needed. And Jairus, what I love about this whole story, Jairus was not dignified about this whole matter. He did not stand back and wait for an opening. He did not book in an appointment with Jesus' disciples. In fact, the Bible tells us Jairus just rolls up in the midst of a crowd, falls at Jesus' feet and begs for help. Says, "My only daughter, she's sick and dying." He had a need. He needed a miracle. The story keeps going. It says, as Jesus went with him, he was surrounded by the crowds. And there was a woman in the crowd who had suffered for 12 years with constant bleeding, and she could find no cure. Coming up behind Jesus, she touched the fringe of his robe. Immediately, the bleeding stopped. Verse 45, "Who touched me?" Jesus asked. Everyone denied it. And Peter said, "Master, this whole crowd is pressing up against you." Now, pause there for a moment. This has got to be Jairus's worst nightmare. That he's already in a crowd and he's gone to Jesus for his miracle. The miracle that he needs is on a limited time period. His daughter is sick and dying. She is in the act of dying. There is an urgency that he needs Jesus to come and visit his house. He is already in the midst of a crowd. People are already pressing up against him. The disciples can see it. Jairus can see it. I'm sure Jairus is probably trying to drag Jesus through the crowd just to get the miracle that he needs. But all of a sudden, Jesus decides to stop for a conversation. "Yo, who touched me?" Peter's like, "Is it a trick question, Jesus?" The whole crowd. King James tells us that the crowd was thronging Jesus. And Jesus was thronged by the crowd. And Peter's like, "Jesus, there's people everywhere." Like, it's like walking down Bourke Street Mall, like someone's gonna touch you. It's like standing on a tram in peak hour. Someone's gonna touch you. And all of a sudden, Jesus decides to just, "Who touched me?" Like, is Jesus offended all of a sudden that people are touched? Like, he decides to stop and have a conversation. They try and explain to him, no, Jesus, you're in a crowd. This is normal. He goes, no, something's going on. Can you imagine what's going through Jairus's head in this moment? He's already desperate. He's already needing an urgent miracle. He needs Jesus to hurry up. And in that moment, his faith begins to be tested in the area of God's omnipresence. See, Jairus is bound up in the timing of the whole affair. He understands that his daughter is in the act of dying. He needs a miracle from God, and he needs it in a very short period of time. He needs it now. But Jesus doesn't seem to rush at all. Jesus doesn't seem to be in a hurry. And Jairus needs to begin to work out whether his faith is large enough to know that God will come through on time, and that God is always all over time. That is the whole thought of God's omnipresence. God exists outside of time. He is not bound by time like we are bound by time. Jairus was stuck in the day that he was in, but Jesus was operating in the power of his Father who exists in the eternal, not in the temporal. And so the story continues, verse 46. Jesus continues the conversation. He goes, no, someone deliberately touched me, for I felt healing power go out from me. And when this woman with the issue of blood realized that she could not stay hidden, she began to tremble and fell to her knees in front of Jesus. The whole crowd heard her explain why she'd touched him and that she had been immediately healed. And Jesus replied to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace." Have you ever been praying for a breakthrough? And then you watched the person next to you or the person three rows away get the breakthrough that you're praying for in your life? Or you're sitting in church on a Sunday morning minding your own business, praying to God for the miracle that you need, and then you turn your eyes to the screen and some person you've never met before begins to testify that they got their miracle. And you sit there and go, "Cool, thanks God, good for them. But what about me?" It's a good song to sing. What about me? See, these things, these testimonies that we share, these are meant to lift our faith. Because the Bible says that the enemy is defeated by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. And that's what should happen when we are engaged in our faith. But I don't know about you, if you've ever sat there and said, "Yeah, God, of course I praise you for their miracle, but where's mine? I've been praying for mine. They waited on their miracle for 6 weeks. I've been waiting for 6 years. God, I've been praying for a breakthrough in this area." And we can begin to sit there and get frustrated that God's moving over there, but he's not moving with us. And it can start to diminish our faith. We start to ask questions in our head. Maybe I've done something to disqualify myself from getting my breakthrough. They got theirs maybe because they prayed longer. Maybe because they went to more 7 a.m. prayer meetings. That probably is a key to breakthrough. But I'm kidding. I'm trying to preach against performance. No, we begin to disqualify ourselves because we begin to go through a list of things in our head. Well, maybe they're more qualified than I am. Maybe they have greater faith than I am. Maybe this, maybe that. And instead of it enlarging our faith, because of what's going on in our head, it begins to diminish our faith. Keep going, let's keep going. Verse 49. While Jesus was still speaking to this woman, a messenger arrived from the home of Jairus, the leader of the synagogue, and said to Jairus, "Your daughter is dead. There's no use troubling Jesus now." But when Jesus heard what happened, he said to Jairus, "Don't be afraid, just have faith." Somebody say, "Just believe." "Just have faith and she will be healed." Now this becomes a test to Jairus in that moment of God's omniscience. Does God really know what's best? Does he really know what we're going through? Does he really know my end from my beginning? Does he really know that it's gonna be okay if I just engage my faith? Does he really know? Not only that, it's a test of God's omnipotence. Is he really powerful to heal my daughter now? I could believe in a God who would heal a sickness, but I don't know if my faith stretches large enough to believe in a God who raises the dead. Believing for sickness to be healed is one thing, but now I got to believe that he would raise the dead, that he would resurrect my daughter. I don't know if my faith goes that far. And it becomes a test of Jairus's faith in this moment. Is God somewhat powerful or is he all powerful? Somebody say, "Just believe." Just believe. Verse 51, it says, when they arrived at the house, Jesus wouldn't let anyone go in with him except Peter, John, James, and the little girl's father and mother. The house was filled with people weeping and wailing, but Jesus said, "Stop the weeping. She isn't dead. She's only asleep." But the crowd laughed at him because they all knew she'd died. Then Jesus took her by the hand and said in a loud voice, "My child, get up." And at that moment, her life returned and she immediately stood up. And Jesus told them to give her something to eat because he knew how glorious food is at all times of the day. Sorry, that's not in the scripture. That's just for me. Verse 56, her parents were overwhelmed, but Jesus insisted that they not tell anyone what had happened. You see, this whole journey that Jairus took from going to Jesus to walking through the crowd to getting interrupted by someone else's miracle, to being told that his daughter was dead, to finally arriving in the house and walking into the room and seeing it for himself. At every step, at every juncture, he had to just believe that Jesus was who he said he was, that he could do what he said he could do, that he really was all powerful, that he really did know all things, that he really could exist outside of our limitation of time. And the question for you today is, do you just believe? Do you believe God can do anything? Do you believe he's not bound by time like you are? Do you believe he knows you? Do you believe he cares for you? Do you believe he knows the very details of your life? That he can't, that his answers are yes and amen to the word that he spoke over your life. That if he has a destiny and a calling for you, that yes, it can come to pass. One of my favorite scriptures in all the Bible, Romans 11, says that the gifts and the call of God are irrevocable. Which means when you have encountered God, when he has gifted you, and when he has called you, you can go wherever you want. You can walk away from God. You can backslide. You can run away like the prodigal. But there's still a gift on your life, and there's still a calling on your life, that if you would just turn and step back into relationship with God, that it is never too late. That if you would just believe that God is all-powerful, God can do all things, God can turn anything around for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose, there is no limitation for our God. See, we are limited in power, we are limited in time, and we are limited in knowledge, but God is not. And I don't know about you, but that's the kind of God that I would want to worship. That's not hard for me to understand. It would be hard for me to understand if I could understand everything about God. If I could contain God in my small mind, not a very big God. And sometimes people get so wrapped up in understanding everything in life. But understand this, God hasn't called us to a life of understanding. He's called us to a life of faith. One of the hardest things I had to learn as a young Christian was learning that I would not know everything. And sometimes God will just tell you to go and you won't get all the answers. Sometimes God will tell you to go and pray for that person. You won't know why. Sometimes God will tell you to step out in faith and it doesn't make any sense. Sometimes God will tell you to forgive and they don't deserve it. Happens a lot. But there's so many things that we will go through in life that sometimes in our faith, we pause and we stall ourselves. We limit ourselves because we say, God, I can't understand it. Therefore, I can't believe it. Kind of sounds like what Thomas did with Jesus. One of the greatest things that I've learned is as I've continued on this journey of faith, that sometimes I get the privilege of turning around and looking at the past, looking at the life that I've walked through, and looking at different decisions or words from God that came to me. And a year on, 5 years on, 10 years on, I can turn around and look back and go, oh, that makes sense now. Thank God I continued following him. Thank God I trusted him in that moment. Thank God I obeyed him with that word. But there will be set things that you turn around and look back on and you won't understand. But I've come to peace with that in my life because God never called me to a life of understanding. God called me to a life of faith, a life of trust, a life in believing in him, that he is all powerful. He is more powerful than my mind can contain. He is all knowing. He knows far more than I could ever learn. He is all places at all times. While I'm limited to today at 10:36 in the morning, I'm limited to this moment in time. God's already in tomorrow. God's already in next week. God's already in 2020. While I'm stuck here today, God already knows what tomorrow holds. God knows the breakthrough and the miracle and the glory that he has for me tomorrow. Somebody say, just believe. And this is the challenge of our faith as we walk through life, that we would just believe in all moments and in all times, whether we understand it or not, whether it makes sense or not, that we would just believe. It makes no sense that Jesus would stop and pray for a woman who had a bleeding issue over a girl that had a dying issue. He could always turn around and come back and sort out the woman who was bleeding. But there was a girl dying. If you were working in a triage situation, the girl would take priority every day of the week. But because Jesus is not bound to knowledge and time and power the same way we are, he said, no, 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 it's all good. I'm here and now. I'm everything you need. If you stay with me, if you just believe, you're going to see my glory. Somebody say, just believe. And there are situations we go through in life that will try and make us bring into question God's character and God's nature. God is all powerful. Is he powerful enough to move in this part of my life? He's all powerful, but man, this bill's a pretty big one. He's all powerful, but this doctor's report's a pretty serious one. He's all powerful, but this breakdown in relationship, I mean, this is serious. And that's where we have to just believe, is God somewhat powerful or is he all powerful? In the area of his omniscience, he is all knowing. But how can he know me and my individual situation? How could he understand me if my situation isn't changing when I pray? How could he know my heart if it feels like my prayers are just bouncing back off heaven? Is he really all-knowing? See, we need to just believe that he really does know us. He does know our heart. He does know what's going on. In the area of God's omnipresence, that he is all places at all times, is he really with me now? Does he really know my end from my beginning? Does he really know what tomorrow holds? I made a mistake. I stuffed up. I sinned. Why would he stay with me? I had a dream, but it hasn't happened. Is God really with me? I've gone through a delay when I've seen other people get their breakthrough. Is he really on my side? These are all the questions that can come against our faith in life. But see, it is our role to just believe. To believe that he is all powerful, he can do anything. To believe that he is all knowing, he knows everything we're going through. To believe that he is all over time, he's not bound by time like we are. To just believe. You see, faith is the currency of heaven. If we keep in faith, despite whether we understand things or not, even when things may seem dead and long gone, even like Jairus' daughter who really was laying there dead upstairs in her room, if we would keep in faith despite what our eyes are telling us and what our ears are hearing and what our emotions are feeling, if we would stay in faith despite our understanding, faith enables God access to every part of our lives. So many people can seek that life of understanding, but God has called us to a life of faith. And when we go through things and God didn't do how we thought he would do, we can allow our faith to diminish. I'm going to get the keys to come back. See, Jairus had to believe even against the worst report. Was God powerful enough? And was God still on time? Remember that verse, John 11:40. Did I not say to you, if you believe, you would see the glory of God? See, Planet Shakers, this is our mission in life, to be a people of faith, and not a diminishing faith, but an ever-increasing, ever-growing faith. We can believe in our head that God is all-powerful. But let me just speak to the people in this room that have just lived a few more years than some of the other people in this room. That the more life you live, the more life you live. The more things you go through, the more things you go through. And everything you go through is an opportunity for your faith to diminish. Every situation you go through is an opportunity for your faith to begin to question the character of God. I went through that. God didn't move the way I thought he would. So I know up here he's all powerful, but like my experience, you know, just boxed in here. I know up here that God is all knowing, but based on what I've been through, man, sometimes it feels like he loves that other person more than me. And the older we get and the more we go through, the more we go through. And the more situations we face and the more trials we go through and the more losses we have and the more hits we take, it's an opportunity for our faith to be diminished. Or it's an opportunity for our faith to be enlarged. It's an opportunity for us to press into God. It's an opportunity for us to just believe. To believe that maybe one day I'll be able to turn around and understand the things that I've gone through and how God got me where he got me. Because I'm telling you, I turn around and look at some of those prayers that I thought God never answered. And now I look at them and I say, thank God he never answered them there. Because if he answered them the way I wanted him to answer them, I wouldn't be where I am today. I wouldn't have been taken where he took me. And I'm telling you that everything we go through in life, if we would just believe, God wants to enlarge your faith. God wants to increase your faith. God wants to elevate your faith. God wants to grow your faith. God wants to take you from glory to glory, from strength to strength. Romans 1, from faith to faith. Come on, somebody, God wants to take you higher. God wants to take you further. God wants to take you up today. And I want to invite every person in this room to stand to their feet. See, a verse we read right at the start is that God wants to take us from glory to glory. That God always has more for us. And I preached a version of this message to our college students on Thursday, and something God began to bring to me as I was ministering to the college students. As I asked all of them to take a moment and close their eyes, you don't need to do it in this moment. But I said, go back to that first moment you first encountered God. That He first began to fill you with His presence and with His power. When you first began to dream in God, take yourself back to that dream. The limitless nature of that dream. And compare it with your dreams right now in this moment. Because if you're dreaming the same, or if you're dreaming less, I believe God wants to bring breakthrough for you today. Because God wants to take you from glory to glory. He wants you to be dreaming larger. He wants your faith to be enlarged and increase. That was just the start. That was just the first of what He has for you. Do you know He has more for you today than He had back then? That's one reason I was so encouraged by Pastor Warren listening to his sermon last week. This is a man who was pressed in and believing for more today than he knew 50 years ago. And that's the same for you in this room this morning. That God has more for you right now than that moment when you first encounter God. God wants you to dream again. God wants to enlarge your faith. God wants you to increase your territory. God wants you to go again. That God is all powerful. He can do anything in your life. It's not too late. You haven't missed the opportunity. The door's not closed. You may feel like the door's closed, but God can open doors no man can open and close doors no man can close. God can resurrect a dead girl and He can call a dead man out of a grave. If God can resurrect and He can redeem, if He can do it then, He can do it now for you. See, a believing person will praise God while they're still in the middle. They will recognize that, thank God I'm not where I used to be. I may not be where I want to be yet, but I'm not where I used to be. Here I am in the middle, and I'm going to praise God. I'm going to praise Him while I'm on the way. I'm going to praise Him while I see someone else push through the crowd and get their miracle. I'm going to praise Him while I see others receive their breakthrough. I'm going to praise Him before I ever receive my miracle. A believing person will praise God in the middle, because I just believe that God wants you to lift your eyes. He wants you to dream big. He wants you to set your sights on heaven. He wants you to believe again and go again and press in again and have faith again that He has more. He has more. He has more. He has more. Come on, Planet Shakers, would you shout a praise in this moment? Shout praise today. It's not time to diminish. It's time to enlarge. God has greater. If you would just believe, you would see the glory of the Lord. Oh, I just want to stir some people up today. A believing person will praise God in the middle. I'm not talking about a pretty praise. I'm not talking about a reserved praise. I'm talking about a God. I might have lived on this earth 50 years. I might have been following You for 60 years. I might have been chasing this dream for 70 years. But I'm still in the middle. And I still believe You can do all things. You know all things. You're not bound by time. God, I'm going to give You an ugly praise. I'm going to clap my hands. I'm going to shout You down. Jump around. I'm gonna dance. I'm gonna praise. Hey! Let me just encourage somebody with this thought. You know, there's a thought that people share sometimes that God's always on time. Tell that to Jairus' daughter. She died. Tell that to Lazarus. He died. But see, you and I are bound by death. We are limited by death. We don't have power over death, but Jesus defeated death. He defeated it on the cross. If He can resurrect that girl, and if He can resurrect Lazarus, I think He can resurrect your dream. I think He can resurrect your faith. I don't think there's any opportunity, any prayer,
any dream too big or too far gone for God to resurrect and for God to bring back and for God to begin to enlarge and increase in your life. And I want to declare that if He said it, then I believe it, that God is able. If you would just believe, come on, all over this room this morning, would you shout a praise? If you believe, come on, praise Him. If you believe, praise Him.
We hope you enjoyed this message from Planet Shakers Church, Melbourne, Australia. For more details, check out planetshakers.com.